Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Rains.
As the Apostle Peter was giving these first century believers some exhortation, some encouragement as they were under Roman occupation in the region of what would be modern day Turkey, just encouraging them and exhorting them as they're running this race of faith. And I don't know about you, man, but I am excited to be a part of the Big C, the Universal Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm also excited to be a part of the local church. As we've said many times, that I believe that the local church is really truly the hope for the world. As you and I live out being his ambassadors, as you and I live out being his church, and history records for us what God can do in and through someone who says yes to him. It's amazing. Last Sunday night, we sat in our life group and just were sharing things that God was doing in our lives and in our families' lives and whatnot. And so Bill Roberts was sharing what God had done in his dad's life. And it's just such a cool testimony because it just goes with what we've been praying about, and it goes with the wall. So Bill, if you would, the wall out in the foyer. So Bill, if you would come and Bill is just going to just brag on God for a moment. And then we're going to dive into the word. So
okay, well, it's a great story. I feel like, you know, Tebow when he's giving it up for God when he makes a touchdown. But you know, I just want to read three scriptures before I kind of start with it. That kind of outlines the story for me. And the first one I know because I've prayed it so much is Romans 10:10, and it says, you know, if you With your mouth, you're going to profess your faith. You can believe in your heart, but you're going to profess it with your mouth. One of the things with my dad, you know, growing up in a family, we didn't go to church. He felt like, you know, the churches just wanted money, and that was kind of how I was raised, and so we didn't really go. Every time I tried to talk, after becoming a Christian with him, every time I tried to talk about God, it was kind of quickly squashed, that, you know, and so I had some great fear in my heart at talking to him about the Lord. He had a heart surgery at the Mayo Clinic a few weeks ago, and, you know, when something like that happens, you know your time is running short. I had a lot of fear. I thought that maybe anything I said could maybe make him go the other way. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed for that. One of the other scriptures is Romans 12:12. It talks about praying relentlessly. And I see a lot of people here praying relentlessly and over and over and over. And, you know, I was at the end of my rope, and where are you? But the third scripture that I prayed about was the one that scared me the most. And that was Matthew 7:14. And it says that the gate is narrow, but many people will choose the gate that is wide, and the gate that is wide is to destruction. And I thought, I've certainly been on that path, and I know that he was on that path, and it scares me. One of the things I imagine in my brain is that the building's on fire, and there's one door for us to all get out. But the more I read that scripture, the more I realized it said, one of his close friends who was a Christian he really admired, I think, was putting his life to show him where the gate was. And every time he would leave, and here's my dad that doesn't want to talk about stuff like that, but so when he would leave his house, he would leave a little pamphlet for him to read on his own. And it took time. It took a couple years. But I knew I was out of time with this surgery. We went to the Mayo Clinic, my wife and daughter and I, and we stayed there. And again, out of fear, I felt like I had one arrow in my quiver to talk to him about this. And I was so afraid. There was a time in the Mayo Clinic when I was going to be left alone with him, and I even tried to get out of it. And like, I'll just go with you guys. I don't, you know, because I knew this was coming, and I was going to have to say this. And they wouldn't let me go. And they said, no, he can't be alone. Somebody's got to stay with him. And I was like, oh, man. So I stayed, and I sat down. And I had never even told him that I was an elder in the church, because it's just something you can't. It was very difficult for me to talk to him about it. So I knew his father was an elder, and long story short, long story long, I guess, we had about a two-hour conversation, and he told me that he believes, and he also told me he thought the Bible was a great way to live his life. You kind of wonder, how that really is implanted in his life and in his heart. That same night, we went to dinner with his wife, who was close in the church when she was growing up, fell away from the church because of the way people treated her, I think, within the church. But she also professed her faith to us that same night. You know, I pray for one, God gives me two. It's amazing. And I'm gonna read this. After the people next door to them, she was 35 years old. She had her heart was too thick and was gonna die. They shaved her heart and, saved her life. You know, my dad goes there to get his heart healed, and certainly did. But I just want to read you. I became friends on Facebook with the lady next door. And I sent her a message saying that I had prayed for her next door. And she sent this back to me. She says, thank you so much. Your mom and dad are special to me. We just love them. Your dad lifted my spirits and talked to me about God just when I needed it. Your family is precious. And it goes on, but it was just confirmation to me. I mean, before he had even left the hospital, he had shared. And I just think that's, that's awesome. You know, I just wanted to share that with you guys.
So out in the foyer on our life wall, there are two new light bulbs that are lit up. Amen. Because two individuals have come to faith in Christ. And so, man, I just exhort us, I encourage us, some water, some plant, some water, God gives the increase. Never, ever, ever give up. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Amen. Amen? And so just wanted to celebrate with Bill, and that's just so exciting and so awesome what God is doing there in that life. And so I love what God is doing in our church. I mean, some incredible things are happening, and you know, one of the beauties of the church, as we think about this, as we talk about this, one of the things that, this word that I've heard several times this week, and it just cracks me up because it's used in a way so often, has negative connotations, but I'm hearing it lately, it's like it's a positive thing. Like, you know what destroys me about the church? And that's like, flipping the switch and destroys now, like this awesome thing. It's like I heard this one guy say, man, you destroyed that song, and it was like meant to be a compliment, right? I mean, have you heard that lately? It's like, you destroyed that song. It's like, what's that mean? But anyway, one of the things that just really jazzes me is it's this about the church is that we're all unique. There's not one of us that's alike in this place. But we make up one body. I mean, look at the person that you're sitting next to this morning. Just kind of gaze at them for a moment. Don't get googly-eyed at them or anything like that. But you're sitting next to someone who is different from you, right? I mean, I look out and I see some mothers and daughters sitting next to each other or some sons and fathers around each other. And it's like, man, you can tell the apple's pretty close to that tree right there or whatever. But You just look at them, and there's similarities, but yet there's differences. And there, let me put it this way: if you could go anywhere, if you know the plane would land out in the parking lot and it could take off safely and take you somewhere, where would you go? How many of you would say, "Man, if I could go anywhere today, I would want to go. I would want to go west. I would want to go to the mountains." How many mountain people are here? You're just like, man, I just want to go there. That's where I love. How many of you are here this morning? You'd go, man, if I could go anywhere, I would go south and I would stick my feet in some sand and just hang out on the beach. The beach. Some of you have a problem because you can't be at two places at one time. And you know, so we're different. How many of you are cat lovers? Can I tell a quick story? I was out Monday night, went out to visit some people that had visited our church and was dropping awesome cookies and just having a good conversation out on the front porch. And all of a sudden, this cat walks up on the porch. And I'm like, didn't say anything, had to be, you know, polite. And all of a sudden, that cat comes up and gets really close to me and brushes me. And I'm like, and I said, "Is that your cat?" "Nope, it's not my cat. It's my neighbor's cat." And I was like, "Yes." And I didn't do anything or say anything wrong. As you can tell, I don't like cats. I'm not a cat lover by any means. But how many of you are dog lovers? You're the lover of the dog. I saw a cool guy walked out of Subway the other day. We had lunch there. His T-shirt, I looked at his T-shirt. I said, "Man, I like your T-shirt." And he's like, "Oh, thanks." And he showed me a little, you know, kind of opened up his chest like he had muscles or something. And he said, my cat is a cat lover. I can't remember what it said. Cats do you remember? Cats are crazy. It was some good word to describe a cat. At one moment, they'll rub up against your leg. The next moment, they'll claw your eyes out. That is so true of a cat. And I know your cat's nice and sweet, and your cat would never do that to anyone. I just won't show up at your house with your cat out in the open because that's what cats do to me. But anyway, Peter is writing this early church, different people, one body. And he's encouraging them not to grow weary as they're living out and walking out their faith, as they're being marginalized and put into the corners of society. And he's challenging them and encouraging them to live for something bigger than just the here and now. We talked about it. We looked at it last week in verse 7 there of chapter 4. He says, "The end of all things is near." That's a perspective-changing statement right there. You say, "Steve, he said this almost 12,000 or 2,000 years ago, and we're still here. Obviously, something is not right." And we looked at what that means last week. You can listen to the message online. We won't take time to dissect it this morning. But Peter says, "Man, you're not home yet. There's some things that you need to do." Therefore, he says, "Be clear-minded, be self-controlled so that you can pray." In other words, guard yourself, guard your heart, guard your life, build your relationship with God. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sin. Guard your relationships with others and love them deeply. Offer hospitality, he says, to one another without grumbling. And I ask this question, do we understand what Peter is saying? He is saying we have responsibility to love God. We have responsibility to love one another, to encourage one another, to serve one another, to build one another. And I ask the question, Peter, why? And it's like Peter writes on and he says, because you are a part of one another. You are the body of Christ. Maybe you attended church at one point in your life and then you strayed away. Maybe something happened that turned you off to church that maybe broke you down. And I'm sorry for that. If that is your story, I'm sorry for things that perhaps you experienced or you saw take place that weren't right, that weren't God-honoring. But the reality of it is that you are part of, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are part of a body. And you can't reject the body and think that you will survive. True? You can't cut off your thumb. If you're a thumb, you can't cut it off and think that that thumb is going to survive. It's not going to work. Do you see what is happening here in this passage? You and I just can't pay attention to our vertical relationship with God. Yes, we develop it. Yes, it grows. Yes, it's strengthened. We can't just say that's all there is. There's this aspect of the horizontal relationship with God as well, or our horizontal relationship with one another. And that's what Peter's talking about. And you're like, oh, Steve, really? Does that mean I have to like cat lovers? Yeah, that's what it means. But don't just look at verse 8. It says, above all, love each other deeply. That speaks of this responsibility to one another. Love, care, and serve one another. And what happens when we do that? What happens when we are or we become great at doing the great commandments and doing the things that God asks us to do? He tells us in verse 11 what happens. It says that we bring God glory. If I can bring God pleasure, then I'm good. Look at what he says to tie it all together. Verse 10, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. So here's what I want to do for the next few minutes. Just I want to talk to you about two things. One is this: God gives each of us gifts. I like how the New Living Translation puts it in verse 10. God has given each of you a gift. The gifts are given to us by God, so we can't take credit for them. Some of you are really gifted musically, perhaps. Some are really gifted with teaching and the ability to take a thought, to take a truth, and then to organize your thoughts so people understand them. Some of you are very good at hospitality. Some of you are very good at encouraging, and on we can go through the various gifts that we see laid out in Scripture. But what is the purpose of those gifts that Peter brings up here? Is it for ourselves? Is it so that we can have a bumper sticker that brags about ourselves, that we have something to put on our Facebook wall? No, it's for the benefit of others. It is to serve others. Be reminded, serving isn't you need me to do this for you. Biblical servanthood is this, that I may decrease so that others may increase. That's why God gives you gifts. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is more fun? What fills your tank more? When you arrive at a personal goal, which is achieving, and I like when I do that and it feels good, or when you build others up and they make and you make others better? What fills your tank more? These gifts God has given us aren't for ourselves. It's for the benefit of others. Peter says in verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God is entrusting these things to us for a purpose. In verse 11, he says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So Peter takes all the gifts that we know of within the Scripture, all the charismatic gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all the motivational gifts in Romans 4, all the ministry gifts spoken in Ephesians chapter 4, and he says they really all fall in two categories, if you will. One kind of gift involves speaking, the other kind of gift involves serving. Don't get up there. How many know? He says, if you're going to be a person who has a speaking gift, then speak as though you were or you have an oracle of God. How many know that you don't want me just getting up on a Sunday morning or whoever just getting up in a Sunday school class or whatever the environment may be and simply giving you what I think? Giving you what, you know, is my perspective on a situation. You don't want that. I hope you don't want that. Giving you what is the heart and the mind of God is what you need to get, right? I pray that when I preach that I'll give you not what Steve Raines thinks, but I'll be able to deliver you the counsel of God. I pray that for teachers. I pray that for the very our other pastors on staff. Speak as though you were an oracle of God, he says. Serve with the strength of God. All kinds of serving gifts abound in the list in Romans chapter 12. And I love what Bible scholar Bob Utley said. He said this, the term gift is charisma, is from the root of grace, charisse in the Greek language. These are gifts. These gifts that we're talking about, these serving, these speaking gifts, are unmerited love. They're undeserved, unmerited love gifts for ministry. Every believer has a spiritual gift given by God at salvation for the purpose of ministry and for the church. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a gift. The practical aspect of this New Testament truth is that every believer, listen to me this morning, every believer is a full-time, called, gifted servant of Christ. Every believer is therefore crucial to the effective working of the local church. You got game, in other words. Have you ever noticed that after a few minutes in a conversation with somebody, even if it's somebody that you maybe just met, you can tell a lot about that person, right? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, some people are outgoing, right? Some people have never met a stranger, man. You like hate going to the mall with them because you know the shopping trip just got longer. And if it's your spouse that's that way and you don't like shopping, man, it's a long day. Right? But here it is, that person never has not known a stranger. They just are excited about everything. They're just all about the party. You mention, hey, we ought to get together, and all of a sudden you see them texting, and you see them on the phone, and they're like, hey, come over to Nate's house. He wants to have a party this afternoon, and we're just going to hang out at Nate's house. Come on. It's going to be fun. And some people are just wired that way. Bring some chips, and we're just going to hang out. Other people in the group are not so excited about that. They're like, oh no. And they pull out their phone or their pocketbook, and they're like, when's this party going to be? Who's coming? What do we need to bring? What do we need to organize? What do I need to arrange to make this thing happen? And they are just the detailed people. They're the planners. Any planners here this morning? You know, they're just like, man, neither of those people are wrong. Both of those personality types are great. My wife is a planner. She, you know, she has, thankfully has worn off on me over the years, because I'm just like, hey, when we get there, we'll get there. Pastor Jacob is this life of the party type of guy. He just wants the party, you know, and so it's fun when you see these personalities working together and strengthening each other and encouraging and hopefully not frustrating one another, right? Because neither of them are wrong. Both of them are giftings. Both of them are talents. But God has given you gifts, and they have a sense, and they have been in you since the beginning. God has put and wired each of us with certain passions and interests and strengths, and there are different gifts, but for the purpose of building and strengthening the church, strengthening the body. Just as each part of the human body has a particular function, so does each member. Each one of you, if you're a follower of Jesus in this place this morning, you have a function, you have a place, and you have a responsibility to the body. That was great preaching. And it was really quiet in here. Here's the second thing I want you to notice this morning. God gives us gifts for his glory. Look at it in verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We have to understand as Christians, your lives are not your own. that in the words of Paul, as Paul is writing the New Testament over and over again, he uses this term, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. In other words, Paul, a slave of Christ. Let me ask you this morning, how do you live your life? I mean, if you're not a follower of Jesus in this place this morning, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a Christian, let me ask you, who sets your agenda? Who has final say on your calendar and the directions of your life? I mean, is it God or is it you? Because all of us experience that, right? I mean, just the other day, a few weeks ago, We have been in conversation, maybe, probably ought to get another car, kind of the need, having some needs there with that and some jockeying of vehicles to make stuff happen. So maybe we'll get another car. And so we went shopping and we were car lot bait for a while one Saturday afternoon and getting stalked, at least you feel like you're wanted. Right? And so we did that and survived and lived to tell about it. And then we have this incredible offer on a car. I mean, it is an incredible offer. It's like a God offer, right? And so I'm weighing this out and I'm like, yes, I want the car. But then life happened. How many know sometimes life has a way of raising its face and you're just like, oh, stink. I don't know. And I'm so grateful that I didn't say, yeah, we'll be there tomorrow to get that car. Because life happened, and like the wind went out of the sail, and it was like, oh, we're taking on water. What do we do? Right? And so we had to rearrange and get a plan and figure some things out. And thankfully, they're holding the car for us. But things unfolded that led us a bit stressful. And, if I would have bought the car then, I would probably be in Larned right now in the hospital. Because I would have had a meltdown or something, right? And you heard about the guy that, sidebar, I love this joke, so this is so funny, okay? There's this guy, he's the big park, and he's out at the park, and there's this big fence that's outlining this park, and he's walking along the fence, just enjoying it. And he's walking along, and he keeps hearing this 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, as he's walking, right? And he's getting closer, and he notices a knot hole in the wood fence. It's a tall wood fence surrounding this facility, 13, 13, 13. So he stops and he's like, why does he keep saying 13, 13? And he stops and he looks in that aisle and he's trying to see, and 14, 14, 14. And the guy's, oh! I love that. It was a psych hospital, but anyway, it was awesome. I love that joke, but anyway. Before you came to Christ, God, you used talents and gifts and strengths for your own purposes. Maybe to climb the corporate ladder, to get things that you wanted, to network with people perhaps. You used all those things because you had an agenda. What we know as Christians is that we have giftings, but as I have come to faith in Christ, I no longer live for me. But I take everything God has entrusted to me and use it for His glory. If we took some time this morning and I passed around the mic and said, tell us how you use your giftings. Tell us how you serve God with your gifts and your talents. Tell us about how you're using your God-given abilities to bring Him glory and honor and praise for the King. What would you say? How would you describe and talk about what you're doing for God? Steve, why would you do that? Why is that important? Here's why it's important. Many people will focus on the fact that they have been saved from sin. Jesus forgave me of my sin. I've surrendered my life to Christ. God made it possible for me to avoid a devil's hell. Jesus gave me a get out of hell card. God saved me from sin and hell. Man, thank you, God, for what you saved me from. And that is good news, right? That's great. But we have to understand there's more than just what God saved you from, but also what He has saved you to. That is very, very important. God didn't save me from sin so that I can come to this place week in, week out, month after month, year after year, and just rejoice that I'm saved from sin. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad there's something more? Listen, serving Christ isn't about looking back. It's about looking ahead. It's the kingdom that is advancing as you are part of that advancement. Christianity isn't a spectator movement, is it? God has saved you from, but saved you to service. The building of his kingdom, the carrying out of his causes, the cause of Christ and the body and the community, a church without walls, life groups ministering and interacting with community. It's about the carrying out of the agenda of Christ across the globe. Why? Peter says, tells us, verse 7, be reminded, the end of all things is near. That's why. We will give an account to God. We will stand before the Lord. We will be rewarded for what we've done for the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 3. Listen, heaven is going to be great. But heaven won't be the same for everyone. We will be judged. Scripture is clear. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 is very clear about that. Are you going to heaven if you're a Christian? Yes. But it is in the nature of a servant to please the king. In other words, it doesn't take someone begging you to get in the game. Right? So, you know, hypothetically, hey, we need someone in junior church, or we need someone to help on Wednesday nights in kids ministry, or we need some life group people, or we need some ushers, or whatever the scenario may be. And we think, well, I think I could do that, maybe, but I'm getting kind of close to ministry retirement age, and so I probably should not do that. Or people will think, you know, or people will say, I've heard people do say some crazy things, you know, and it's like, really? I mean, this thing is not about us. It's not about preferences. It's about his kingdom. It's about us going to God and saying, God, here I am. Use me. Serve me. Or flow through me. Let me serve you. It's not me going, God, here's my top three. And you, if you could put me in one of these three, that would be awesome. But man, please don't make me do number three. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each one should use whatever gift he received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. It's about us acknowledging our biblical understanding of the body and that God saved us from sin to service. Maybe, God, it used to be all about me and what I wanted to do, but, oh, God, you have saved me, you've changed me, and it's about you and what you want me to do. What is it, Lord? Here I am. Caleb was talking, Dad, if I could get a tattoo, you know what I'd get? And I was like, well, son, you're not going to get a tattoo. At least I'm not buying your tattoo, and I'm buying your food. So when you can buy your own food, then you can buy your own tattoo. But and I don't have anything against tattoos. You want to see mine? I'm just kidding. But he was like, I would get Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4. I was like, well, what's that say? God, it says this, Lord, here I am. Send me. Amen. I was like, that's a cool tattoo. Go get one. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. But I thought that would be a good one. But it's about us. God, I want to be faithful. You've given me a gift. I want to serve others with it. It's about you. That's not to minimize the importance of attendance. Yes, it's important to attend, but it's equally important to participate and serve. What brings God glory? What does he say will bring him pleasure and joy? As parents, as we think about this as parents, as we just think about this as people that work and make livings, at the end of the day, when we have our 1 Corinthians chapter 3 moment and we're standing before God, I can almost bet, I'm willing to bet my house. It's wood, hay, and stubble, so it'll be burned up. But I'm willing to bet God's not going to go, dude, man, that was an awesome promotion you got back there when you were 10 years into the thing. And man, thank you so much for giving all of your efforts to your work and you know, sacrificing 65 hours a week so you could have a 6-digit income. Man, that is incredible. I'm not thinking he's going to go, dude, can you bring out your McDonald's Sidekick soccer trophies that you got when you were in second grade when you won that tournament? Because that's incredible. That just like stokes me still. I don't think God's going to do that. And as parents, we have to be very careful how much we are letting our kids invest their time in an area. You know, I think back when I was a youth pastor, Pastor Steve, I don't get it. My son just doesn't seem, my kid doesn't seem interested in church anymore. They don't want to come anymore. And they're just so obligated to this. And yeah, they're obligated to this. And it's taking from this. And you wonder why. All of us are called to serve. Tells us that in verse 11. And it's all for his glory. And some people don't get involved because they don't feel like they have anything to offer. Man, that's the farthest thing from the truth. In the hospitality area, like greeting and first touch and welcoming and ushering and all that stuff, man, you're creating environments, you're creating a culture that says we value, we care for people. We don't care if this is your first time. We don't care if this is your 100th time. In kids' area, mentoring and loving some kids and youth and music and outreach or wherever else there's areas to serve. Using your gifts to build and to fix things because we break things around here. You can make a difference. When you study your Bible, you will see God do miraculous things through divine partnership. Don't you? Little David, man, all I got is a sling. Man, all I need is somebody that's willing and somebody with a sling. Go take out the giant. And boom, what unfolded for him because of that? Some say, well, they don't need anyone else to serve. It looks like they have everything covered. Listen, we're a growing church. People are coming in. It's exciting. People are getting saved. It's exciting. People are getting baptized. It's exciting. And we're heading towards 250 people really quick. And to get there, guess what? It takes all of our gifts, and it takes all hands on deck. Amen? We're a church. We are a church committed to generations, and we are a church committed to investing in our community. If that doesn't ring your bell, if that doesn't stoke your fire, then we're probably not the church for you. But if you believe in generations, you believe in influencing community, then we're your church. And we need your giftings. Just like you need this church. And finally, you know, I mean, I'm too busy. And we just have a litany of excuses. And Peter says this. Listen, the end of all things is near. God isn't going to be impressed with our trophies, our business awards, our athletics, all that stuff. What we're allowing, Christianity is not only a high calling, but it's only boring to those who aren't doing it right. Man, if you're doing it right, it's exciting. If you're not, it's boring and frustrating. On your seat, we'll end it this way, and then we're going to go celebrate here in a moment. It's a little postcard. Hopefully you can read it. But what that postcard is, it's the inside of our life booklet that we passed out back in February, I believe it was, just our theme for the year. And there's areas on there where you can get involved. There's areas on there where you need to get involved. Every one of us. What's a commitment, Pastor Steve? What's it going to cost me? Well, it depends on the area, obviously. But your involvement is up to you. Your gift is your gift to bless this church and this congregation and to strengthen and to help in it. And I'm telling you this as your pastor. I'm not begging you. I'm just telling you we need your gift. And you need to give your gift because your gift will become better for you if you give it. And so I would encourage you just on that card, man, just, you know, mark an area. Maybe you're already marked in an area and you're serving in an area. I'm not asking you to serve in every area. I'm just asking you to serve in an area or two where your giftings are, where your passions are, where your interests are. And just mark that. If you're already serving an area, just, man, mark the area you're serving, put your name on it, and then just leave it on your seat this morning. Or actually, I'm going to ask you to do it this way as we close here in a moment. I'm just going to ask you to come and just set that card on the altar and say, God, just as a declaration, God, I give myself to you. I put myself upon this altar for your service. However, whenever, God, here I am. Use me. I am yours. And it will be an awesome thing. And then we'll get in contact with you and have some conversation, follow up with you, and we'll see how the Lord directs. And how many know? Let me just say this. Just said it about an hour ago or an hour and a half ago in our starting point class. It's okay to say no. There's times where you should say no, right? Yeah. We're not going to guilt. I'm not going to ask you, hey, man, Aaron, can you get up and sing on the worship team? Well, Pastor, I can't do that. And there's not going to be like dead silence on the telephone line. Pastor, yeah, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you to change your mind. It's not going to happen. We're not going to guilt you, okay? But I will challenge you, serve. Serve, serve.
Everybody dance. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.